morning. So thankful that we have the opportunity to worship together, that we get to be here to strengthen one another and go through our upcoming week. If you have your Bibles, please open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to look at verse 58 together. Paul writing to those in Corinth. Notice in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This morning, as we introduce our lesson, I want us to break down this verse in verse 58 to set us up for the lesson that we're going to look at this morning. When you look at verse 58, notice therefore the very first word that is mentioned, therefore. That word there carries the idea of meaning so that. So that. So when you look at therefore, I've been told or I've heard in lessons that when you see the word therefore, you need to see what it is there for. And it carries the idea of so that. So that means that when we look at the rest of verse 58, it means we need to do the things that are mentioned in verse 58 so that for a particular reason, and that reason is what is mentioned in the verse above in verse 57. When you look at verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Since God gives us the victory in Jesus Christ, since we get to have eternal life and being obedient to the Word of God, we need to do these things that are mentioned in verse 58 so that we can have that victory that is mentioned there. Well, you see in verse 58, therefore, and then you read, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast." When you look at that word there, steadfast, it carries the idea of seated or morally fixed. And we understand the idea of seated, meaning not moved. When you talk about living the Christian life and striving for this victory that is in Christ Jesus, we don't need to be moved. We need to make sure that we are seated. And we understand that idea there of being seated. When you talk about not moving and being firmly planted and seated, we understand what that means. Maybe we've been on a hike and out with other people and we've been going down a trail and people are going on and you get tired, you get to the point where they're going to continue on and you grab a seat and you say, "I'm staying right here, I'm going no further, I'm tired." You have made it in your mind that you are going to be seated right here. You're not going to be moved. So we understand that idea. Gentlemen, maybe you've been shopping with your wife and she's went on for hours walking through the stores and you get to a seat and you say, "I'm sitting right here. I'm not going any further." I've been with Crystal and we've been going through a department and I sat down and I've sat there for a while and she's moved on and she's went over half a store. And I'm sitting right there, and people walk by looking at me going, "What are you doing here?" I'm seated. I'm not moving. I'm going to wait till she texts me and says, "I'm done. I'm ready." So we understand when we get tired and we're seated, we're not moving. And that the next word in verse 58 helps us with that because it is immovable. If we want this victory, we got to be steadfast. We got to be immovable, not swayed. Not letting nothing move us from the truth. But then the next word, always abounding. That word abounding is really what I want to focus on this morning in the introduction. When you talk about abounding, you're talking about exceeding a mark or a number. Meaning that you have set a goal, whether it be a number or a mark, something that you want to attain, and you exceed that. That's what it means to abound. You are going past that goal. You're striving for it earnestly. Now, we understand what it means to exceed a number or mark. We do that in our society. Those in business, they strive for a particular mark or number. A business may set a number of, we want to do $1 million worth of business this year. And what they want to do is at least meet that and hopefully exceed that number. We see it in our society when it comes to sports. There are sports teams that they set goals, whether it's personal goals or a team goal of winning X amount of games per year, and their goal is to exceed that number or mark. But the most important thing is in Christianity, in our spiritual life, we want to abound in the work of the Lord. We want to exceed a mark or number. We set goals for our Christian life. And a question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, when it comes to spiritual matters, do I want to excel or do I just want to get by? But the most important question is, what does God desire? What does God want for my life spiritually? Well, we know by looking at this passage, He wants you to exceed. He wants you to excel in your Christianity, meaning you always have to be growing. You can't just sit idly by when it comes to being a Christian. You can't say, well, now I've obeyed the gospel, I know what the Word of God says, now I'll just sit idly by. No, you have to excel in certain areas in your life. What I want us to look at this morning is areas that we can excel in. And one way that you can make application to this in your personal life is, in it being January, the first month of the year, you can look at this as areas that we can excel in 2018. Because when you make goals for your life, it's easier for you if you'll set it for a particular area, such as these things we're going to mention. And in 2018, you can say, this is what I want to do better in this year. With that said, let's get into the first area that I think we should excel in, and that is our service to God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at Galatians 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We see that we are to serve one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're also to serve our fellow man. When it comes to this abounding in the work of the Lord, when you talk about work, you're talking about service, serving others. But also go down to Galatians 6. When you look at Galatians 6 and you start in verse 6, it says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now notice verse 9, when you talk about work and you talk about service. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Just as we've seen in verse 13, we're to do good to one another. We're to serve one another. As we have opportunity, we need to do good to everybody that we can, especially each other. When I think about excelling in our service, I have a good illustration for you. This past month in December, Robert Charnock, who is the preacher at Gurley, has now moved on to Memphis. And that family, the Charnocks, they needed somebody to help them load a 26-foot moving truck because they were moving to Memphis. Well, we heard that they needed that, and I called Robert up and I said, "Hey, Robert," I said, "we've got some youth that will be willing to come over and help load this truck if you don't mind, and let us help you." So we went over there and we took the youth over there, and these young kids went over there and they started grabbing box after box after box. Well, about an hour into it, Robert come up to me. He said, "You know, Matt," he said, "when you called me yesterday and you said that you were going to bring youth over here to help load a truck," he said, "I thought, what can these young kids do loading this truck?" And he said, "They have blown me away at how strong they are and how willing they are to work." You see, they excelled in their service. They went above a mark that even Robert thought that they could do. They were capable to do something. I was so proud of them and what they were doing in loading this truck. They spent about 4 hours toting boxes and cabinets. And don't let these young smiling faces underestimate you. They're strong. You don't believe that? Just shake Janie's hand and she'll show you how strong she is. But no, I'm so proud of what they've done. But they were able to do something and they excelled in that service. But the next area that we can excel in is in our influence. We all have an influence, whether we realize it or not. But as Christians, we have an influence on other people. Look over at Matthew chapter 5. We look a lot of times at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And when you look at Matthew chapter 5, you begin in verse 13 with Jesus speaking. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." You see, we know that salt enhances the flavor of food, doesn't it? It makes it better. That's what we as Christians are to do as an influence. We are to make those around us better because we've studied the Word of God and we know what it says and what it means, and we can show others that. But verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." You think about being the light of the world. And you see here a city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. You can't put that light out. This year, in spending some time in the woods, I started looking at a different area of the mountain that I don't normally go to. And in walking into that spot for the first time this year, I was seeing a light off in the distance. And being new to that area, I wasn't quite sure where it was coming from. And as I was walking, you know, as you walk and there's trees, at times the light would be covered up and then it would reappear. And it would cover up and then it would reappear. And I kept looking up, maybe thinking somebody was already in there, maybe a hunter that was up in a tree with his light on. And as I looked, I noticed that over miles away, a little community, so to speak, of homes was there. And it was a light from those homes that was shining. A city on a hill, so to speak, that could not be hid. That light was there for all to see. And you think about your influence as the light of the world for all to see. And you realize that people are looking to you, knowing you're a Christian, waiting for you to show the way. You see verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And verse 16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, you're letting your light shine before men, ahead of them, so that they can see the way, so that God can be glorified, so that they can see how good God is. But excel in your influence. Don't do the bare minimum. Don't say to yourself, "Well, people know that I'm a Christian, so I need to just behave, you know, so to speak." Go above and beyond. Because when you talk about influence, you're talking about a reputation people knowing your name and your characteristics and the things that you do. And people will expect certain things. This past month, our sister-in-law, Crystal's brother's wife, her mother passed away. And our sister-in-law is more like a sister to Crystal. They grew up around each other. Her mother passed away, and we were trying to figure out a way that we could get down there. And I needed to stay home and stay at our house, and Crystal was really trying to find a way to get there. And she ended up being able to be there at the last minute, but she didn't tell her sister-in-law she was coming. She wanted to surprise her and be there for her. And she showed up just in time for the visitation the day before the funeral, and she walked in, and her sister-in-law started crying, and Crystal walked up to her, and she said, "Are you surprised that I'm here?" And she said, "No." She said, "I knew you would find a way to be here." You see, when you have an influence, a Christian influence, and you have a reputation, people know and expect what you're going to do. So make sure that you strive your best for that. When it comes to our influence, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want us to look at a passage here together. 1 Peter chapter 3. I think so many times when it comes to our influence that we forget the value of a woman's influence. And we overlook the great influence that a woman has. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." When you talk about a woman's influence, if her husband will not be obedient to the word, she without a word, just by her actions, can influence her husband. Notice verse 2, "When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." When you look at this word chaste, it means pure from every fault. Not perfect, we understand that, but it carries the idea of pure from every fault, meaning in their speech, in their influence, in the way that they conduct themselves, they're pure from every fault. And another word that is used in that definition of chaste is the word immaculate. You think about that word immaculate, and you think about a woman's influence. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." You talk about an influence, you think about a woman who, by her character, her attitude, her speech, how she can influence people for good because of the things she does, not the adorning, not the outside appearance, but the beauty that is within and that is precious to God. I've used this before, but in talking with Barry Smith and just sitting down and having conversation with him, and him talking about how much he loves his parents. He said that his dad is his hero, and he said that his mother, she made you want to be a better person by being around her. I heard a Christian say the other day, talking about another Christian, they said, "You know, that person just makes you want to do better." Is that not what our influence is about? When you talk about striving and excelling in certain areas with your influence, the very thing that we should strive for is that people can be better because they're around us. Not because we're good, but because we know the Word of God and we love people and we want to lead them to heaven. And if they can see our good attitude and our characteristics because we've studied the Word of God, and they'll be better off because of it, all the glory due to God. That's what we should strive for. So we need to excel in our service and in our influence. But this year also let us excel in encouraging our brethren. We need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to encourage everyone. You think of Hebrews 3 and verse 13, exhort one another daily. We need to encourage each other each and every day. It does not take much to walk up to your brother and sister in Christ and say, good job. That's not hard, is it? It's not hard to say good job. It's not hard to say keep on keeping on. It's not hard to say we love that you're here. It's not hard to say you are doing a good job in this area. Keep up the good work. We need to encourage each other as brothers and sisters. We need to encourage, when you talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ, members alone, we need to encourage our minister. Those that have given their life. I'm talking ministers. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about those that preach for a living. They have dedicated their life to preaching the gospel because they love God and they need encouragement. When you apply that to us here at East Huntsville, we need to encourage Bill as much as possible, him and Peggy in their service. Let him know we love him. Let him know that we're proud of the truth that he stood for all these years. Other preachers as well, those that have dedicated their life. Let them know how much we appreciate them preaching the gospel. What about our elders? You think of our elders and what they have to stand for, or what they have chose to stand for. Mark mentioned that this morning in his class talking about elders. Turn over to Titus chapter 1. I want to point out a couple things in encouraging our elders. In Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we see, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Notice, if a man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dispensation or insubordination. For if a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. These are things that an elder must be. And then notice some things that elders have to deal with. Notice what is on their plate. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, idle talkers, deceivers, especially those who are in the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. You think about the things that elders throughout the church worldwide deal with today on a daily basis. In some cases, murder, adultery, pornography, all those things, alcoholism, drugs, all those things that are on their plate, and they've got to stand and look out for our souls, watching over the flock. They need encouragement. I'm afraid that sometimes we view them as men that we're just to be able to go and complain to. But when you talk about excelling and encouraging an elder, let me say this. If you have never encouraged an elder, or you've never made a plan to encourage an elder, it's not going to be hard to excel at, is it? Because all you've got to do is do it one time and you've exceeded that mark because you've never made the plan to. Encourage your elders because they look out for your soul. Encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ because we're trying to strengthen each other so that we can be faithful to go to heaven. Encourage your deacons. Encourage the youth. And let's take a stand together. But also, when it comes to areas we must excel in, that we should strive for this year. We should excel in reading our Bible. You say, Matt, that's simple. That's the basics. Guess what? We need the basics. We need to read and study our Bibles. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said in John 12, verse 48, the words that I have spoke is what will judge you in the last day. Of anything we're going to study and read, it should be the book that is going to judge us in the last day, the words of God. We must make sure that we do that. When me and the Stevens were in Kentucky in November, we went to the Munfordville Church of Christ in Munfordville, Kentucky. And we met that preacher there. I believe his first name is Marty. Stevens will let me know after service if I'm wrong on that. I'm usually wrong on names. But we're going to go with Marty for now. Marty is the preacher at the Munfordville Church, and there's about 20 or 30 people there. And as we got to visit with him, he is so encouraging to be around. He, if I understood him right, he basically went to that small congregation straight out of college. And he's been there around 20 years. And he says he plans on being there another 20 years, Lord willing. He was talking with us after service, and he talked about how many hours a day he likes to read and listen to the Bible. And he was not doing so for the sake of bragging and boasting. He's not that type of individual. He just loves reading and studying and listening to the Word of God. He spent 2 years recording himself reading the Bible so that he could make an app with it. That way people could just sit and listen to the Bible. And he spends hours doing that. He's got a tree out in front of his home. We were able to go visit at his house. That he'll take his truck. It's a small town. Life is slower. And he'll pull his truck out under that tree and just sit and read his Bible. And you could see what a peaceful person he was. Well, listening to him and seeing some of the things he'd done had an effect on me. When I come back, I tried to make more time to just sit and read. And when I'm in my truck, I try to just listen to the Bible or listen to a lesson. And the point I'm getting at is so many times we overlook the basics of just reading and studying your Bible. Reading your Bible will make your life so much better. You'll understand so much more what life is about. You'll understand how to deal with people. You'll understand how the church is designed. Most importantly, you'll learn how to have a home in heaven with God. Which brings us to our last point. When you talk about excelling, areas that we should excel in, you may look at these so far. You may be here and not a Christian. And you say, Matt, all these things that you're talking about apply to Christians. When you talk about your service and your influence and encouraging and studying the Bible, all those apply to a Christian. Well, this last one applies to Christians, but it also applies to a non-Christian. And that is where you should excel this year is making sure that you are not lost. Look this year more than ever before, and especially today, because today is all that you have. Make sure that you're not going to be lost when this earth ceases to exist. You see, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. He came here so that you don't have to be lost eternally, eternally separated from God. You see, you're lost. Understand this. It does not get any plainer. You are lost in sin unless you have obeyed the gospel. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 3:16. You've got to be willing to confess the precious name of Christ, Romans 10 and verse 9. You have to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. You must be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. Being in Christ is where salvation is. Make sure that when you talk about excelling in certain areas of your life, excel in making sure that you are not lost. Are you here this morning and you don't know if you're lost or not? Please come and talk to one of us. Me, Bill, our elders, men here, we would love to sit down and study with you so that you can make sure that you're not lost. Maybe you are a Christian and you've strayed away and you've just been doing the bare minimum. You're not exceeding in these areas in your life that you should. Maybe you've strayed away from God and you think you may be lost. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand together and sing.